Well, welcome everyone. As I was sitting there, I was thinking about that you guys have been our family here for over 25 years. I mean, that's an amazing thing. And just thinking about just the many, many relationships that we have with you guys and the prayers and all the prayers that have gone up for our family and just the many years that we've been able to do things together, serve together. I'm just overwhelmed, really, with just the privilege and the opportunity to just share this morning with you. So my name's Rocky. There's a few Rockies around. I get mixed up with them sometimes. My wife Wendy preached a little bit on Sunday, a few Sundays ago, on planning. So I'm glad I married a planner. And I just wanted to thank you guys, every one of you, for just being our family, supporting us throughout the years. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Barb. Thank you, Daryl and Brenda, and the many staff here over the years, and just how well you guys have treated us. So I just want to thank you. So this morning, we're still in the book of Proverbs. Just by way of introduction, for those online and others, we're going through the book of Proverbs, and the beginning of Proverbs kind of tells what Proverbs is about. The book of Proverbs was written over a period of time that spans the reign of King Solomon and through the reign of King Hezekiah. And it's around 3,000 years old as the collection was put together. To put that into perspective, it's about 120 generations have been listening to the book of Proverbs. And even before that, because the collection that was put together by Solomon was a collection of things that had been even going on before that. So 120 generations of people listening to the Word of God in these Proverbs throughout all over the world. The book of Proverbs was written over a period of time that the whole span of that time has come up to now. And think about, as we now are listening to something that was written 3,000 years ago, how applicable it is right now today. The purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise. Their purpose is to teach people to live disciplined and successful lives, and to help them to do what is right, just, and fair. These Proverbs will give insight to the simple and knowledge and discernment to the young. So, as Pastor Matt was asking about topics that I could, you know, speak on, I went down the list and I just picked the easiest one. Okay. So the easiest one today I'm going to be touching on is parenting, the parent-child relationship. I figured that was the easiest one. So, but it comes with a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is that I'm not entirely sure I'm qualified to teach on parenting because I've only had a total of 2 children, and they're fantastic kids. They're just great kids. And I have one of them sitting over here. I think she can attest. And I'm assuming that credit can, I think I'm just going to give that to God and to my wife. And I'll just assume that God is qualified to teach on parenting. So we're teaching from the Word of God this morning, and so just keep that in mind. Okay, not everyone is a biological parent, too. There are many types of guardians. There are many types of, there's teachers, there's relatives, uncles, aunts. There's many that perform the duty of parents in kids' lives, sometimes grandparents. And others, if you have a role in training and encouraging children, then these verses also apply to you this morning. Okay, so we'll start out with a picture of my family. So this was just a couple years ago, around the time we thought we knew what we were doing as parents. And God gave us these 2 amazing cherubs to be nurtured and cared for while we traveled into the jungles of Papua New Guinea as Bible translators. The grandparents should have disowned us for that move. But by God's grace, they were incredibly supportive. Thank you, Kathy. Okay, now for the first verse. All right. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. How many of you have children in this room? Raise your hands for a moment. Okay, you can put them down. Okay, how many wish you didn't have children? Wait, no, I'm kidding. Don't raise your hand. And when Psalm 127, even though Psalm 127 isn't technically a proverb, it was written by Solomon. And it was, so it's kind of close enough. It was written for the purpose of the Israelites as they traveled to Jerusalem. And they sung this as they went to festivals. So I figured that even though that's a psalm, it comes from the same author as Proverbs. And then now I'll go to the real proverb. All right. This one's all too familiar. In fact, it's become a proverb in English in some ways. And we hear it all the time, you know. To train up a child the way they would go, we hear that a lot. This one's a different version. It says, start children off on the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not turn from it. As some have already mentioned, this verse can be a bit controversial if it's taken as a promise rather than a principle. It's easier to see if you place the principle into a negative, though. If you say, start off your kids in a terrible way, with no real teaching, and hopefully they will still do really well in life. If you take it that way, you can see that the principle still applies in the Proverbs. And yes, we all know of wonderful parents who've had challenging kids, challenging young adults. And then we've also seen that there's some kids that you think, wow, you know, how in the world did they turn out the way they did when you see their parents? But the principle still applies that if we endeavor as parents and guardians to train up our children, that that's going to give them the best launching point to into life. Okay, because the parent-child dynamic goes both ways, this next verse these next verses will be for the kids. My child, listen when your father corrects you. Don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck. And for the kids who weren't paying attention, another one is like it. Next slide. Okay. Yeah. My child, obey your father's command and do not neglect your mother's teaching. When you walk, they will steer you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you wake up, they will guide you. And one more, just for good measure. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. One summer break when I was just 5 years old, I decided I wanted to run away. I don't know why I wanted to run away, honestly, but I just decided as a five-year-old one day I would run away, and I wasn't very sneaky about it. Actually, I went and told my mom. And she looked at me and she's like, well, why do you want to run away? I said, I just want to run away. And she said, okay, well, I'll help you. So she helped me pack a bag. And she made sure I had extra clothes and I had some snacks. She said it's going to get dark, you know, so she packed me a flashlight. Then she reminded me that I probably needed some protection from the Lord if I'm just going to run away and take off. So she said, why don't I pray with you? So she prayed with me, her prayer went something like this. Lord, protect Rocky from bears and wolves and quicksand, which I was deathly afraid of because of cartoons. And as I walked out the door, she reminded me dinner was going to be in about a half an hour. And there was ice cream for dessert. I didn't get far before every bush along my way started to look like a bear. And I was only really, I think I was only gone about 10 minutes, probably tops. And I made it down to a couple neighbor's houses and decided I would turn around. And on my way back, I kind of slaughtered back and I thought, man, this running away stuff's kind of hard. And I got to there and she was standing in the front door, and I'll never forget it. She's standing in the front door with this big grin on her face. And she goes, wow. She goes, welcome home, son. She said, how was your trip? And we really need the wisdom of our parents. And my mom's a very wise woman, and that she handled that very well. Okay, now let's take a look at one of our very favorite proverbs. This has got to be everybody's favorite. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That's Proverbs 13:24. There actually are a few proverbs like this. I'm just going to share one because it kind of drilled in after a couple, probably two or three proverbs like this. While many believe that this is an injunction for physical punishment, the key part of the verse is the purpose, and it's to discipline. And probably others have brought this up too, the idea of a rod. The rod had a lot of uses. It's actually a very colorful picture in the Bible. The rod's used all kinds of ways. Some of the ways is correction. It's a symbol of correction, discipline, authority, guidance, and protection. And while there are many methods of discipline, the key is if you love your children, God wants you to teach, correct, guide your children into the ways of the Lord. So I think, you know, when I was going over these, the thing that kept coming to me was that as parents, we have different forms of discipline, different ways that we try to encourage our children. But the main thing that I think the injunction here from the Proverbs is to discipline them in a way that leads them to their Savior, to lead them to Christ. Okay. Now, the New Testament also has a great verse to guide us parents on how to discipline. Okay. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. I have another story that illustrates this point. And this one's actually a little difficult for me to share, as you'll understand. When my oldest daughter, Cynthia, was around 12 years old, we were playing by a river. This was in Papua New Guinea. There's a nice little river called the Ba'e that runs along our center. It's in the highlands. It's kind of a colder river because we are in the highlands, about a mile high. And it's not a large river. It's sort of just this winding, almost a stream, but it's classified as a river. And we used to take our kids down there. It was a favorite hangout spot. And there's kind of a sandy beach. And on the other side of the river is a sandbar that kids would swim out to, and just a nice place to hang out. So my kids were raised in the water. They're like fish. I wasn't too worried about them swimming. But Cynthia came up and she said, Dad, and kids do this usually right before you're ready to leave, like you're packing up, you're getting your stuff ready. She's like, Dad, I want to swim out to the sandbar across the river. And I thought, well, I mean, we've got about 10 more minutes, And I thought, well, I don't know if that's a great idea. I said, well, why do you want to do that? She goes, well, I want to check it out over there. And there were some other kids playing over there. I want to see what it's like. And I was trying to weigh this as a parent. This is a good idea. Swim across. We're getting ready to leave. And I thought, well, I said, okay, on one condition, well, actually two conditions. One is that you're going to swim across. You got to swim back. Go across and come back. I'm not going over there, okay? And then two, you need to be ready to leave and pretty soon. So it's gonna be a quick trip. She's all excited. She's like, all right, thanks, She goes skipping down, jumps into the current, swims across, and I see her, go down the current a little bit, then she gets out, and she's over there playing on the other side of the river. And looks like she's built a sandcastle or doing whatever, and finally I call out to her and say, hey, Cynthia, it's time to leave. And I see her get up, and she's standing there, and I'm like, why is she standing there? And then she walks into the river, and she walks in about this far, and then she walks back out. And I said, well, hey, come on, we're getting ready to leave, and she's standing there. And I'm like, oh, man. So she tried to come back into the river again, gets about right to here, and then she gets back out. And then she sits down and starts to cry. I'm like, so, you know, we call this, now we're at an impasse and a kind of a parental crisis point. And I'm watching her cry, sitting across the river. I'm fully dressed, standing there. We're all trying to pack up to leave. There's a whole group of us that wants to leave. We're not just by ourselves. We're all supposed to get into some vans and go. And she's crying. And then she stands up, and I yell across the river. I said, Cynthia, remember what you promised. You're supposed to swim across, come back, and we got to go. And then I probably mistakenly said, the way I said it was like, we're leaving now, which was putting pressure on her. Like, well, now we're going to leave her, right? Well, that didn't help the situation. She burst into tears and started crying even harder, and she sat down again. She got up at first, and then she sat down. Now she's really crying, like sobbing crying. So I'm thinking, great. So now what do I do? How do I stay true as a parent and do this? Like, I told her the conditions. I told her that we were leaving. She promised she would do this. Now I'm trying to just encourage her. I'm saying, Cynthia, come on, you can do it. It's okay. You know, you swam across. You can swim back. And we're having this whole conversation. Finally, after probably, it felt like 10 minutes. It was probably more like 3-4 minutes. She finally ran and just plunged into the water, swam across the current, and then popped out on the other side. And I'm standing there, and she walked right past me, crying, and right to the car. And at that point, I thought, well, I think I blew it. I really blew this. I was trying to stand on this idea that, you know, I'm going to follow through. I'm going to do this. And so it was really awkward riding home in the car. And I was just thinking, man, what did I do wrong? What did I say something? She's emotional. Is it her? Is it me? Didn't know what to do. And then it kind of faded away. We didn't really talk about it. But about a week later, I was still bothered by this. I was still bothered by the situation. And I happened to be talking to a wise elderly lady who was actually a counselor. And I thought, you know, I'm just going to get this off my chest. And I'm going to bring this up to her. So I said, I kind of explained to her the situation, what had happened. I said, yeah, we're at the river. This is what happened. She was crying. You know, I think I was trying to be principled as a parent and follow through. And I just dumped it on her. I said, well, what do you think I should have done? How should I have handled this? Well, she kind of thought for a minute, thought through it all. I could see her wheels turning. And then very gently, she said these words, and they kind of hit me like a gut punch. She said, you know, I think in that situation, I would have met her halfway. She said, that's where I know God usually meets me, when I'm stuck. So this leads me to one last verse. My child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you, for the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. The point for me when that revelation came through was that God meets us more than halfway in Jesus. As parents, I encourage you, as you do the incredible difficult task of parenting, and it's also very rewarding, I encourage you to remember that God is with you and that he meets you in those times when you're struggling as a parent halfway. And I also want to encourage the kids, too, in the room here, to meet your parents halfway, because you didn't come with an instruction book on how to raise you, which would have been pretty handy. And the Lord is also with you as well. And there's a promise. I think that if we can learn to understand how to honor, if we can learn to understand how to honor our parents and listen to their instruction, and as parents, if we can learn to meet our kids halfway and discipline in a way like this, like our Father loves us and delights in us, then meeting us halfway, more than halfway, as the picture of the prodigal, as he is running back. Notice the father wasn't at home. He met him all the way out in the field. He came all the way out to make sure that he met him more than halfway. That's where I think we need to be as parents. So I'd like to pray, and we'll end there. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to share your word this morning. I thank you for the opportunity for us to have, to be stewards of the children you've given us. And what an honor and a privilege that is. Lord, I thank you that you, in your wisdom, have called us your children, and you have been our Father. And you've given us the example of Jesus, and you've given us the privilege of walking with you through this whole entire process of being parents. And thank you again, Lord, for this church, for the amazing group of people that lead it. And thank you again for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Let's all stand together. Parenting is not easy, no matter how old kids are. Then coaching your adult kids, those of you that have adult kids, and then coaching your grandkids. It has challenges. And let me just pray one more time, and then we'll dismiss you. Father, we do live in a very complicated world. There are things that as parents, as grandparents, as surrogate parents, that we face and that generations previously didn't face. Even down to the complicated thing of the devices that are in many of our pockets that bring the world that maybe we tried to shelter our kids from right into their pocket, and lots of complications. So, Father, I pray as their pastor of the church that you would give us incredible wisdom as parents. You'd give us incredible wisdom as grandparents. You'd give us incredible wisdom as adopted parents. You'd give us incredible wisdom, those grandparents that are helping raise their grandkids. Incredible wisdom. And Father, during those moments of turmoil, pray that your peace would come over families, and that you would give parents an ability to lean into you, take a breath, lean into you, find the trust that they need to hold on to you in the midst of while they're holding on to their kids. And then we also join together and pray for kids, and especially adult kids, but adult, maybe a little younger, but who have walked away from you. And Father, we pray that you today would draw them by the power of your Holy Spirit back into a place where they learn to love you, walk with you, serve you, follow you. You know who that, as Rocky kind of ended up with the prodigal son, you know who the prodigal sons and daughters are, prodigal grandsons and granddaughters. And we pray that you tug at them, Jesus. Give them a hunger, give them a thirst, give them a desire to walk with you. Thank you that you have not given up on them. Thank you that you will never give up on them, and that you're working in their lives, even if we don't see it. The promise in your word is that you're working in their lives. So we bless you now. Father, help us in the world we're living in. Help us to be wise, wise people in the midst of all the complications. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go have an awesome afternoon, and hopefully the sunshine will arrive and summer will return.